Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders. You've done it all. You've walked the tightrope of success and accomplished so much in your career. Now what? How do you keep redefining your success and expanding your emotional well-being? Join us to hear talk on mindset, motivation, and your growth in handling the challenges you've experienced both in circumstances and with yourself as a leader. Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders with your host, Tracy Crossley.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders. And today is episode 30, and it is called Zero Ego. Yeah, okay. So I laugh because that is something we can work towards our entire life, but to have zero ego is a misnomer. So I saw this list on LinkedIn, and the list was qualities of a great leader. And there were eight of them. The first is zero ego, which made me laugh because people seem to think that means arrogance, right? Give credit is number two. Embrace failure, three. Lead with empathy, four. Number five is let other people talk. Six, put people before profits. Seven, admit when they're wrong. Eight, look for solutions, not blame. And not to be harsh, but I have never met this total package of a human being ever, whether it is professionally or personally. Have you? I've actually met people who can act a lot of these parts, but don't feel that they're actually in that place, right? It's a performance. And to perform all eight of those all the time is pretty much an impossibility that you're making yourself live up to if that's something that you think makes a great leader, right? So I can absolutely say, depending on what is happening inside of me, that determining my level of happiness with myself determines my output. It determines how I approach things. I approach things from a place of knowing, number one, where am I at, right? Am I at zero ego today? No. Do I give credit? I can give credit. And this really isn't going to go down this whole list today, by the way, because I believe each of these is a topic unto itself. But can I embrace failure? Sure, because I don't see failure as failure. I see it as a bump in the road. I see it as, okay, not needing to go straight on this road. I need to make a right or a left turn instead. So all of these things, of course, we can custom fit to ourselves. So let's focus on this zero ego. Do you know how to get rid of your ego? Seriously, to understand what it means, I want you to check out Eastern philosophies. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with Eastern philosophies and the goal of getting rid of the ego, right? Buddhism is all about getting rid of the ego. Taoism, getting rid of the ego, looking for the middle path, okay? Personally, when I see lists like this, I get tired of them being out there where it includes something that requires such a deep level of self-awareness that many may give up before they even begin. Because to get to zero ego is a life commitment. It's a life commitment, not just a professional commitment. It's a life commitment. So to have zero ego would mean the following. Number one, you no longer have fear about anything, which means you never worry or wake up at 2 a.m. stressed about something around work. Two, you never get angry. Three, you take nothing personally. Four, you literally feel outer circumstances determine your mood. I'm sorry, they never determine your mood or your choices. Whatever's happening outside of you, yeah, no longer does that control any part of anything you choose or you decide. Okay, the next one. We are at number five. You do not have ambition or drive. Nope, you don't have that. Six, you stop blaming others. Seven, you take responsibility, personal responsibility that is, for what you say and do. Eight, you stop looking for excuses to blame others. Nine, you admit you are wrong when you are. 10, you aren't threatened by other people. and so much more. I mean, I could have made a list that would probably be a novel. And that was just 10 things, right, to do with how do you have zero ego. So those of you who try to be perfect, you're definitely with ego. Yeah, perfectionism is fear-based. Everything fear-based is to do with your ego. It means you do not feel good enough, and therefore you and perhaps your teams need to be perfect too. I used to be this sort of a business owner and that sort of boss. I was always trying to live up to perfect, and I wanted everybody around me to do so. And I hated excuses, right? Even my own. So living up to impossible expectations is what you're doing when you're trying to be perfect and like live to a list, or at least to zero ego. And that means you are not a happy camper. So when you read a list that classifies everything in a nice and neat way, but lists zero ego at the top, it means that you get to be an actor in your own life. So to become without ego has been a personal goal of mine. Absolutely. Am I closer? Yes, I am closer. Will I achieve that in this lifetime? Probably not. And that's okay. But my goal every single day is to take a form of action known as emotionally risky action to actually change these things. And so undoing your reactions to fear or anything which you find threatening is difficult, but that is part of getting rid of your ego. You have to undo your conditioning, which is what I help other people to do. And it is a lengthy process that requires doing a deep dive into yourself. Like I am talking right now to you and you can intellectualize all this. Oh, this sounds good, Tracy. I'm going to think about this. But that doesn't achieve change. So this is not a mental analytical dive, but it's a deep emotional dive to root out your negative beliefs that keep your ego alive and working hard. So is this a problem or perhaps problems? Well, it's a problem when it comes to how big your ego really is. And that is something so many of us do not think we come equipped with, especially as women. But there are so many ways to see your ego. It's a matter of seeing it as it is. It has a lot of disguises. And realizing that it comes from your conditioning is huge, because when things come from your conditioning, a lot of it is under your own radar. You might just think, this is the way I am, or this is how things have always been, but it's just not true. So when you think you have no ego, you may have no self-worth, and that will limit you as a leader. And notice I said, think you have no ego. It doesn't mean you have no ego. It means that you probably are very passive in ways, because to get, again, to a place of zero ego means all of those things that I listed a few minutes ago apply, in that you don't do that anymore. You stop doing that. So being a leader who people respect and trust means you have to ask yourself what is important, right? Because if you have no self-worth, you are totally limited as a leader. And keeping a facade is a question. Do I want to keep this facade up, which is basically imposter syndrome, right? Or do I want to move beyond it? Because imposter syndrome is an egoic issue. Yes, trust me. I've been doing this work a long time, and imposter syndrome is definitely an egoic issue. And as women, right, you may have just as big an ego as the guy sitting in the next office. It just manifests differently in how it appears. If that list I read to you, of course, of how you would not want certain traits that are ego-based to be obstacles in your life, and any of them are, then it's your insecurities that are running the show, because insecurities come from fear. Ego equals fear. If it is not ego, it is love, okay? And there's either fear or love that things come from. Whether, you know, we want to bring the word love into a professional situation is, of course, something that most people aren't comfortable with. But really, everything you respond to is either based in fear or love. Personally, professionally, doesn't matter. And a lot of times we get threatened by things in our professional environment, like a loss of revenue or high turnover or no productivity or whatever the complaints are that are causing issues with your bottom line. And so we tend to believe those are the things we have to address rather than addressing what's actually going on inside of us. So when you see ego, it equals insecurity. No ego equals security. Your true self is safe and secure, and that is apart from the ego. That is real confidence. Egoic confidence is not something that lasts. So let's work on changing that physiological conditioning. That means you can change it. Yes, you can. So what's the wake-up statement? Zero ego means 100% emotional freedom to unlimited success. I thought that was an action-packed sentence. Okay, so I'm going to talk about one of my clients. And I want you guys to know, none of these names are real that I give because obviously I do protect my clients' privacy, okay? So Maria is a client of mine who believes that as a global head of HR for an organization employing thousands, she believes that she does not come from ego when dealing with others in her organization. She believes she's empathetic. She believes that she takes responsibility. She believes that she is really got it together, right? But she doesn't. And what that means is it's not that other people are going, oh my God, what's wrong with you? It's the responses she gets and how she's triggered by them. That is the key for her. Oh, other people are triggering me. So she starts to feel small, though again, you would not see this outwardly. Her mode of operating is to kick doors down. You know, I'm not letting anything stand in my way. I want to make sure people understand. I want to make sure that we're collaborating. I want to make sure, like, forcing things, okay? As though empathy can be forced or any of the other things, right? But of course, when you're looking at this list, not necessarily the list that I read off, but similar list, you're really looking at how these are ways to beat yourself up because you have now high expectations of acting in certain ways. And so she doesn't like that others control her emotionally. She doesn't like reacting to anything that remotely sounds like criticism as a way to be more perfect because she's already trying to be perfect. Yes. And that is at the bottom of what pain she's in, is trying to be perfect. Like, where did this come from? Well, it came from childhood. This is how she got attention. She got attention for getting straight A's. She got attention for performing. And that's what she equated with love or acceptance, not even looking at herself for self-acceptance. You see, we should be taught this as children, but we're not. It's that self-acceptance that you need to have. That self, I don't like to use this word, empowerment, because it's overused. And it's really that personal power, okay? And being perfect is not a personal power, it's a fear. So anyway, so she likes to be two steps ahead of people. And anything that could take her down is what she's always trying to preempt and avoid and problem solve before it's a problem. But when she feels small, she feels like there's nothing she can do for those moments or days that it takes that out of her. She will literally walk around feeling like her world has been taken away and she's in some other reality where she doesn't deserve her job or she doesn't deserve what she has. Like, she beats herself up endlessly. And so most people would not even know this is an internal battle. Her ego protected her from feeling too much pain or doubt as a child. And at the same time, as an adult, that doesn't really serve you. So her mind would race to get her the correct answers. Let's say if somebody was criticizing her, you know, defensive answers that might feel like a threat, so she could temporarily sound like she would have control. So letting go of her ego was a big part of how she saw herself. As far as, okay, I realize that I have an ego issue because I have a perfectionism issue because I always feel like I'm performing and I'm tired, right? And she was sick of it. And she wants to advance in her career. And she kept feeling like these things were holding her back, which is great. And I totally appreciate that in working with female leaders, because the truth is, recognizing that is half the battle. A lot of times people want to show up and they want to basically defend how they are so they don't have to change. But you get to a point where you realize the cost is so big to you that you want to change. So here's the deal, right? She's made huge strides across the board. Does she have zero ego? No. but she has a lot more emotional well-being, a lot more inner peace. She doesn't just say to others, hey, let's give Mark credit. She means it. She can give and receive vulnerably and honestly and feels the strength in it. No longer does she try to control the narrative. She lets the narrative be whatever it is. She doesn't need to go in and stop it, fix it, change it, or do anything with it. So she doesn't blame others as often. She takes responsibility. She's changed immensely from where she started, and she's up for a promotion, which is amazing. So her area of business has actually become an incredible resource for the business. The company, I mean, people really feel they can trust her and they feel like she is doing the right thing, even when she has to be, I don't want to say hard, but that she's not going along with, let's say, what someone else is saying, and she's saying her own piece, but she's saying it in a way where she's not, I don't want to use the word bitchy because, you know, women, we always get that wonderful word bitchy in there, but where she's heard because of the way she speaks. So it's a beautiful thing. And that is wonderful because the HR department in her business, from what she described, was not something that most people wanted to actually deal with. So what's the solution? What is a solution to this, right? I shared a little bit about what I did with Maria and what I'm still doing because she's still a client, but it's all about you, always. First, a decision to change this requires you to put your ego on the shelf for 1 second, which is kind of difficult to do, okay? If you can do it, bravo to you. But it's really to put it on the shelf for a second. And I hear from women, I am successful. Why the hell do I want to do anything, right? Because that's the first thing. Well, I know this stuff. I have enough female friends that are successful where it's like, well, I already know that. But then if I pay attention to their actions and their words, I'm like, okay. All right. And I'm not here to coach my friends, but or mentor my friends or advise my friends. And so it's really about if you're sitting here listening and going, well, why the hell do I want to do anything? I'm successful. Well, you got to ask yourself a question. First of all, that reeks of insecurity for somebody to be that defensive, right? Your ego is defensive. Your true self, not defensive. All right. Right there, it's a big sign. It is your ego answering the question, and that is fear. Fear is right there in your face saying, hey, this is what I feel, this is what I think, and I think I want things to stay the same. Your ego always wants things to stay the same. So having an awareness about this, huge, 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 okay? You see, respect is not domineering others, it is being the conduit to the success of others and the whole. Unfortunately, fear, as I like to say, is an F-U-C-K-E-R. It sure is. So that's the first step, okay, is that awareness. The second one is realizing how much resistance, how much struggle, how much internal fight you have with yourself. So you want to see it, allow it, and don't try to control it. Literally, when you notice that you feel funky inside, a lot of us will try to distract ourselves or do something so that we don't have to pay attention. But really what's going to help you is to pay attention by spending 5 minutes with yourself, not focused on anything, but noticing how much of what you do and say is stemming from fear that your ego supplies, okay? And in turn limits you because it colors your thoughts. It's like the, I don't want to say the bad best friend, but it really is like this gossipy jackass that lives in your head, or as I like to call it, the inner dictator. And it tells you things that are negative and it doesn't bring you up. And you can argue with it and say, no, I'm better than that. That doesn't help you. So stop arguing with yourself. That's not what this is about. First, it's to notice that there is a struggle inside. Noticing, observing, seeing it, being aware, okay? And then spending just 5 minutes. I'm all about like little tiny bits of time. So that's why I say like put your ego on the shelf for a second, literally a second. If you can do that for a second, great. If you can spend 5 minutes with yourself, not focused on anything else, but noticing how much of what you do and say, again, is coming from fear because your ego supplies you with it. And that, again, is always going to limit your, I don't want to say abilities. We have abilities. It's limiting the idea, the knowledge that we have of ourselves, that what we can do, not do. So for 3 days, I want you to keep a notepad with you or notes on your phone if you don't want to use a notepad so you can become aware of how fear is inside of you, Where is it? How does it get triggered to show up? And what is that external trigger, right? Once you start to see the external trigger, you want to notice what that reaction is inside of you. As an example, somebody could yell at you, right? And that could trigger you. It would trigger a lot of people, especially if you take it personally. And you look at what is the reaction that's being unlocked inside of you. What's happening? So the deeper fear of loss, what is it? Don't write a story literally, okay? I always say this when I want people to track things. It's not about vomiting out in a journal. It's about making a bullet point of this. This is what I need to say right here. Or this is what I'm feeling right here. One sentence. So you can start to see the pattern is the point. Because when you're writing something over 3 days, you're going to start seeing a pattern. And that's going to give you awareness about what's happening. The first step is always awareness. And it can be a task, but if you start there and you do it, it's going to help you to see, oh, shoot, you know what? Fear, I see it. Oh, my gosh, I got to do something here because I don't want to lead from fear, nor do I want to live in fear, right? Email me if you would like guidance and you want to break these fear-based patterns. If you feel you want to try and get to zero ego, I can get you. I don't know all the way to zero ego, but I sure as hell can get you to a place where you're going to feel damn good most of the time. Because I know in myself, one of the things I was sharing actually this morning to one of my groups, I have a couple group programs, and I was sharing this this morning, and I said, it's so interesting how I noticed years ago, I started to have this feeling in basically like in my gut, okay, around my gut, that was very calm, that was very peaceful, even if all hell was breaking loose out around me. And I know what it is. It's my true self. It's immovable. It doesn't, no matter what is happening, it doesn't feel like that tightness I used to get in my stomach. It doesn't feel like any of that. It feels calm and open all the time. And it's sort of like having a rock of security inside of you that just keeps growing and growing and growing. And that is what I connect to more than I connect to any kind of egoic BS. So you can email me at business@tracycrossley.com if you would like help with this, because I can help you to get to a much better place. I would say zero ego, but zero ego, literally, you would probably go quit your job and go live on a mountaintop somewhere. So, or you would just get along with everything. But I think what happens, at least for me, is I tend to get bored with a lot of strife and struggle. Like, oh, look at that. That's happening again. Oh, wow. Look at that. Not inside of me. I'm talking about outside of me. And I would think I would just want to go hang out with nature or something at that point. So, what's the wake-up statement again? Zero ego means 100% emotional freedom to unlimited success. You have a right to empowerment. Yes, you do. You have a right to feel empowered. And to achieve a no-ego goal, you need to see everything that is tied to your ego, and not just in how it is fear-based, but in how you react to others, where you feel competition or comparison, or you are blaming anything or anyone. This, my friend, is the beginning of a superior way to live and lead. Thank you. Again, if you're interested in learning more about me or my programs, you can email business@tracycrossley.com, or you can go to my website, tracycrossley.com, and it is split into two. One side's business, one side's individuals, and you can learn about those programs there. Plus, we do custom programs as well. Take care. See you next time.
Thank you for joining today. For more information on Tracy and her programs and to set up a discovery session, email business@tracycrossley.com. That's business@tracycrossley.com, and go to tracycrossley.com to get your free download entitled Stop Your Inner Dictator. Thank you for tuning in to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders.